The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yeah. Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts.
Wow, I have to say, it must be a while since I've done a preview show, because hearing the tuba and the musical styles of this brand new opening theme song, I'm blown away by it. I don't even know what to think right now. But we are here to talk about mixed martial arts. The UFC returns to the UFC Apex tomorrow for UFC Vegas 36. We get a big middleweight bout in the main event spot, a main event with real stakes on a fight night card. Plus, we get an early start time, a slew of pretty fun and interesting matchups. This is a formula for a fun afternoon of fights, as we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 36 preview show. We are live on the MMA Fighting YouTube page, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for joining us, and a big thank you to those listening or watching after the fact as well. I am Mike Heck, back on the preview show circuit, being joined by the Prince of Positivity himself, Alexander K. Lee. How you doing, my best friend?
Chuck, can we get the music up a little, get back up a little bit again? Oh. I'm in a good mood, as you can tell, Mike. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a great mood. I'm ready to talk some pure UFC today.
Yes, and on the ones and twos, Mr. E. Casey Lydon, the baddest dash in MMA media. How are you doing, my man?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh. Dance battle. I love
it. I had to dodge right. The I know. Finger shots.
So for those watching right now, judge in the comments who won the dance battle. Was it AK or was it Casey? Casey, I feel like I haven't talked to you in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. How are you? Like, who's this guy in the middle? I haven't seen you in forever. New state, new background, new chair. Big day. Was it the same
it
chair?
It is a big day.
The new chair?
No, same chair, same chair. Different background.
Different background. All right.
Maybe it's the background that just makes it pop out a little bit more. But we have a lot to talk about here. We have a really good fight card. And AK is, I think, more excited about it than I am. And I'm pretty darn excited about it. But AK, I want to start with you before we dive into all things, the entirety of the fight card. But let's talk about this main event. Derek Brunson has been on a roll. 4 wins in a row. He's coming off the win over Kevin Holland in his last fight. He's got back-to-back main event wins. Now he gets Darren Till in a fight that makes a heck of a lot of sense, AK. So your thoughts just on the matchup itself, this pivotal fight at 185 pounds, as we're a little over 24 hours away from it.
I love it. I think it's a great, it's a clash of styles. It's somewhat of a clash of personalities, though I think we've kind of seen in the lead up. Both guys have been pretty cordial Like there's been trash talk, but I mean, they're both just kind of laughing it off, which I think is like the best kind. I know for the casual viewer, it's a bit of an eye roll, but I mean, for those of us who just want to watch compelling personalities fight each other, it's cool when there's that element of you know, talking and tension, but at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't get away in the way of the professionalism. So I like that aspect of it. And the fight itself, again, you've got a guy who is always been a strong grappler, but is kind of going back to leaning on his grappling a lot in Brunson. He can certainly strike. He certainly has knockout power, but I like that he's kind of putting an emphasis on what brought him to the table now. And I think that's been a big reason why he's been on this 4-fight win streak until kind of uneven results, but there's just something so compelling about him. And he's clearly a skilled fighter. He's, even when he's lost, he's for the most part hung with the best at 170 and hung with the best at 185. I mean, the fight with Whitaker maybe wasn't great, but he did beat Calvin Gastelum, very close fight. So I think here you do see someone. I'd be very surprised, I'm sure we'll talk about this more later, if this doesn't give us a contender, like an actual, not an immediate number one contender, but someone who will fight for the middleweight title in the near future.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting part of this fight. There's a lot of interesting things about this fight. In case I want to ask you about this, because this is like a tale of two totally different guys, isn't it? Because you look at what Derek Brunson has done. It's been pretty darn impressive. The change in location, the change in gym has been big for him, obviously. He's got 4 wins in a row, like we said. And it seems like, as AK sort of alluded to, he's slowly on his way to that championship conversation. With a win, he's probably going to have to get at least one more. And then you have Darren Till, who's 1-3 in his last 4 fights. He's 1-1 at 185. Got a lackluster win over Kelvin Gastelum, a fight that was not all that entertaining. Then he loses to Robert Whitaker in a pretty competitive fight. But he could very well find his way into a title fight if he wins tomorrow because of the name and his personality and the following that he has. What do you make of the trajectories of these two guys heading into tomorrow?
It's really super. This is a great. First of all, this is a great main event fight night main event fight. It really is, because I think we've all been kind of complaining maybe the last few cards, the main events. Well, 2 A level fighters, the fight just didn't have really any championship stakes on it. This truly does, in the sense that if Till wins, really based on his, I mean, hey, I hate saying this, but based on him on the mic, it's not really based on what he does in the cage. He's just such a charismatic figure that any quote, any interview that anyone shoots of him, people watch. Just people watch. And because of that, despite his so-so record at 185, his performances at 185, yeah, one win, especially if it's a dominant win, even if he can finish Derek Brunson. Yeah, he'll get it. I guess easily see the UFC giving him a title shot, or he'll be one fight away at worst, like fighting a person like Cannonier maybe. But just on his name alone, and he moves the needle. I'm sure Izzy loves those pay-per-view buys. So if Izzy can get by Whitaker, or if that fight's even happening, I have no idea. He's set up for big things with a great victory tomorrow night. Brunson, on the other hand. Yeah, he doesn't go away. He's always there. He's just consistent. How many main events in a row is it for a fight night?
Three
main events in a row for a fight night. That's very impressive, honestly. And if he can do it again, there's honestly, if he beats Darren Till convincingly, he should get a title shot or beat that one fight away. But I don't really think he will, just because. Like you said, UFC's a business, just doesn't move the needle enough. But regardless, this is a great fight, and it's super important for both these gentlemen's careers. I think especially more for Brunson, to be honest.
Yeah, I would agree. And this all depends on Israel Adesanya and his timeline and when he wants to fight, because we saw it with the Vittori fight. Like, if he wants to fight at a certain time, it doesn't matter if Whitaker's ready. It's whoever's available. He's just going to fight and they'll jump the line. So it is a big opportunity for both of these gentlemen. And AK, we love to talk about the betting odds here because they can be a little surprising. And I feel like this one's a little surprising. Darren Till currently -180 favorite, according to our friends at DK Nation. The comeback on Derek Brunson is +155. This to me is pretty surprising. I thought Brunson would be the favorite here, but instead Till is almost a 2-1 favorite, AK. What do you think of these odds?
I have been fooled by the mystique of Darren Till before. I am one of probably not a few people that thought he would beat Tyron Woodley. I recall this distinctly. This probably said a lot about maybe also how I viewed Woodley at the time. I just didn't think Woodley was a great champion. Obviously, he was and is. So I remember I bought into the Till hype. Oh, this unbeaten guy, perfect matchup. He's going to outstrike Woodley and all that. And, you know, just didn't even think about, oh, right, you know, Woodley's just so much of a superior, well-rounded fighter. I'm just going back here to try to see if Till was favored against Woodley.
I'm pretty sure he was.
It was either a pick'em or he was favored. I think. Yeah. I don't recall if I don't think Woodley was ever a heavily favored, which is ridiculous in retrospect. So I've been fooled by Till before. I do think him being almost a 2-1 favorite is a bit unreasonable, and I think really disrespectful when you consider Brunson's coming off 4 straight wins. Till is 1-1 coming off a loss. So I'm not sure how the math works out on this one, but again, this is not new for Darren Till. I don't know in depth the betting lines. He's favored in. I don't think he was favored against Whitaker. I'm nearly certain he wasn't, but I bet he was favored against Gastelum, and probably was favored against Masvidal too, right? Because this was the beginning of Masvidal mania, so he was probably favored against Masvidal. So this is the mystique of Darren Till. Why it's lingering so long and at a new weight class, I'm not entirely sure. He's certainly the bigger name, and that, you know, we're talking about Capital Bang. That's, you know, matters more than whoever Brunson has beaten. But for me, that's crazy. It would, for me, to be closer to pick him. Obviously, I'm leaning, as you can tell, I'm kind of leaning towards Brunson.
Okay.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
So, you know, you kind of did the whole, you know, he's on, you know, he's 1-2 at middle. Till's 1-2 at middle. Is he 1-2 at middleweight? What is
one
it?
1-1.
1-1 at middleweight. It feels like he's been at middleweight for a long time now. 1-1 at middleweight. No, Brunson's on a 3-fight, 4-fight win streak. Do you think Till would have done the same thing? Do you think if Till would have fought the same opponents that Brunson fought in that 4-fight win streak, he would have beaten all 4 of those guys too? Because I understand people use records and stuff, but to me, records don't mean squat. It's your level of competition. And the problem with Till, why he's so, to me, he's so hard to figure out, is because he really fights only the top guys. He doesn't, it's been a while since he's kind of, you know, gotten a guy out of the top 15, out of the top 10. While Brunson, who's his last win streak? Heinisch?
Shabazian.
Yeah, so none of those guys were... Holland. Yeah, so none of those guys to me are even top 10, honestly. So he's on a 4-fight win streak over guys who are outside the top 10. So that's why this fight is... Darren Till is hard to figure out. I just don't know if he... I honestly don't know if he's good or not. I mean, I don't know if he's the best, rather. I know clearly he's a good fighter, but I just don't know how good he is. And it's very confusing. That's why the odds make sense and don't make sense to me at the same time.
And that's why this is a good matchup. You were saying you thought this was a good matchup. And I agree. Like, again, on paper for me, I don't think it's the one I would have picked. And also because Till had other fights that fell through. That's why I was still thinking about those. So Brunson wouldn't have been my first option. But you're right. Based on kind of this unknowing of, well, how would Till have done if he wasn't necessarily being thrown against top 10, top 5 guys in 185 all the time? You know, would his recent record be a different story? Likely. I mean, I would pick him over Theodoro. I would pick him over Ian Heinisch. Shabazian, I don't know. I think Shabazian is still an unknown property, but I think Till would be favored. And Holland, I probably would have leaned toward Holland, but I'm not saying like I think he would definitely be.
And I wouldn't pick Brunson over Whitaker. So I figured they would have the same record if you switched the opponents around. That's why it's a good matchup, and I have no idea really what to expect.
2-1 though, especially. Is still surprising though. Two to one is still surprising though.
I think that's just a popularity contest, honestly. But yeah, maybe. That's a betting line, but yeah.
Yeah, and listen to this, AK. This and is in the last 7 fights for Darren Till, this will only be the second time he's favored in a fight.
Really?
Underdog against Donald Cerrone, underdog against Stephen Thompson. It was a pick'em with Woodley. With like the tiniest lean on Till, so I guess like 2.25. He was favored against Masvidal.
Yes, I'm looking at 2-1.
He was an over 2-1 dog against Kelvin Gastelum. Dog to Whitaker, and he's -180 against Derek Brunson. So yeah, I think it kind of leans a little more towards what Casey said. I know. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, we just don't. Yeah, that's the confusing part about Darren Till. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
That's so weird.
It's so wild. We'll get to your guys' thoughts on this as well, but let's talk about the picks here. Let's talk about the picks. AK, who you got? You love betting on MMA. It's your favorite thing in the world.
That's right. So. I always tell people, always bet on MMA. Kids, if you're watching and your parents are, dip into your savings. No, please, guys, don't gamble on MMA. But if we're just talking about who's going to win the fight, I don't care about odds or anything. I'm leaning towards Brunson. I think, like I said, I like that he has a bigger emphasis on his grappling. I don't buy into the narrative that he can't win the big one, even though he hasn't won the big one. You know what I mean? It's of course you could say he hasn't won the big one because he hasn't. He's lost to Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker, Anderson Silva, which a lot of people thought he won. So let's, you know.
That's a win.
Sure. A lot of people have. And then Jacare and Israel Adesanya. So it's like I just named four. And along that list, four of the best five middleweights of the last five or six years. Yeah, I mean, you can even throw Anderson Silva in there if you want to, depending on how far you want to stretch back. But so he loses to the best. I don't know if Till's on that level. It'll be amazing if Till does add his name to that list because, I mean, it's kind of a broad list, but still to say that those are the only people who have beat Brunson and to put Till in there would be a nice feather in Till's cap. But I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with Derek Brunson where it's like, oh, he just can't beat this high level. I think it's, again, he's lost to some of the best and that happens. And I don't think Till's up there. So I think we see a lot more wrestling from Brunson. I think we see him mix it up a bit, but like 75% wrestling, 25% striking. And I think he either wins a decision or gets a submission in the third.
Okay. Casey, what do you think?
I'm going Derek Brunson. 49-46. I think it'll be a competitive, but I think we'll clearly know that Brunson is the better fighter. And I'm picking this mostly because I just know more about Brunson, honestly. I think Brunson is just, even at almost 38 years old, I really think that he is coming into not his athletic prime, but his like mixed martial arts prime, in the sense that I really feel his whole skill set, his maturity level have finally kind of matched up, right? Where if he has to use the wrestling and just kind of grind out five rounds, he can. And he has enough power, and he's dangerous enough with his hands now that it's going to open up his wrestling. And now I feel like when he does get hurt and when Brunson does get hit hard, which he will get hit hard a couple of times in this fight, he doesn't panic. He isn't going to do that Robert Whittaker thing where he just kind of goes crazy, you know. And I think he will use that maturity and that experience from all his previous, you know, failures maybe at the highest level. And I think he will get a solid win on Saturday night over Darren Till.
Yeah, I'm leaning Brunson as well, but this is one of those fights, at least in my eyes, and I know Brunson's proven to be very durable and a lot more mature with age and with experience, but I think he's got to survive like the first 8 minutes of the fight. I think if he can get through the first 8 minutes, weather the storm, I think he can grind away and get a win. But I think this fight is a lot closer than a lot of people think, because I think a lot of people are on Derek Brunson to win like 4-1 or something like that. I think this is a pretty close fight. I would not be shocked if we hear split decision city here, but I think Brunson will win. I think after those 25 minutes, we'll feel confident that Derek Brunson did enough to win that fight.
Sorry, Mike. So you were saying you think that like Till will have the faster start maybe and it's on Brunson to survive that and then grind out a win? Or did you say it the other way around?
I think Till will start off real fast. I think he'll have some good moments. It's been so long, man. He hasn't fought in a while.
I know, but this is part of the betting thing. I think bettors think this too, but it's like, I don't know where this myth is that he is this like deadly knockout artist. He hasn't knocked anyone out or like had this like a smoking like fast or really like hurt anyone since he knocked out Cowboy, right?
No, he dropped Masvidal in the first round.
I didn't remember that at all. I'm just fully admitting I don't remember that at all.
He dropped him, but that's a problem. You know, it was like, it just seems to be just a one-shot guy. You know, he doesn't and it's been a while. When was that fight? Masvidal was
2019.
March 2019.
I mean, he did 2019. He did win on points against Wonderboy, and which is really hard to do, and Gastelum, right? So I don't know. There is something to it. I just don't see, hey, the scorecards say he won on points against Wonderboy Thompson. I don't do the judging, but I see unanimous decision win over Stephen Thompson. I'm sorry. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but either way, he did enough to not lose, clearly. He won the fight officially. So I don't know. But again, I do think he's a bit overrated as far as like this supposedly having this like massive punching power.
That is, don't think. You're right. Sorry, I didn't realize that. I'm looking at his record. He only has one finish in the UFC. Donald Cerrone. Yeah,
I mean, he's faced some tough guys.
He's had very good competition. But yeah, you're right. The whole idea.
It's just a bit weird to me. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I really thought like he had like a bunch of not even... Even like in his come up, you know, I thought he was like knocking out these, you know, prelim guys. No. Decision. And then, I think we just relive that Donald Cerrone fight over and over. Maybe I'm not sure, and we just think he's knockout guy.
Casey, people know my predictions are terrible, so bet the house now on Darren Till KO under 1 minute at this point. if anyone keeps track of my predictions, they're the worst. So there you go.
That's the issue of Derek Brunson and. And I've talked to this before about fighters, say like a Corey Anderson, is that people seem to remember their big losses rather than their big victories. And in my mind, I see Derek Brunson getting knocked out cold rather than I have a hard time seeing Brunson knocking out Till cold. You know, it's like even though I'm picking Brunson, I feel if there's one guy who's going to get flattened unconscious, it's going to be Brunson. Because I just see their losses more because I think they've had higher level, like the Izzy fight for Brunson is just gonna be so hard to outlive, you know, to get over for people, you know. So it's weird that kind of thought process for these fighters and what kind of fighters they are kind of doesn't really match up with their actual records.
Yeah, I thought Darren Till looked really. He looked pretty darn good in the Whitaker fight. He lost, but he looked pretty darn good. That was a really close fight.
It was super. It was competitive. Really close. Whitaker was the better fighter, but it was a competitive fight. Like if they would have fought 10 times, you know, Till wins a couple at least. You know, I'm saying, you know, one of those fights.
I thought it was pretty clean. I'd have to watch the fight again. I thought it was pretty clean.
Whitaker, wasn't the fight up for grabs to the fifth round? I thought it was 2-2 going.
It was 2-2 heading into the five. Definitely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I should really start watching fights more.
You got to watch MMA, guy. You got to watch MMA.
What is this MMA thing I keep hearing about? Because apparently Darren Till, this is not his first fight. You guys tell me he knocked down Masvidal. He had a competitive fight. I don't recall these things at all. I swear I watched these fights.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wow. It's okay. Now you get to watch Darren Till tomorrow night in the main event. Co-main event, we have Tom Aspinall against Sergey Spivak. And AK, you know how I feel about Sergey Spivak's last performance. And if he was going to get this fight, this is the only way he was going to get it. On short notice,
yes,
stepping in as a replacement, because I thought while beating Alexei Oleinik is nice and you get two paychecks, that fight was set up for him to go in there and steamroll Alexei Oleinik, for him to earn this fight, to get in there and... Everybody hankering for it. And while some people wanted it and felt like this is the right time for it, this is the opportunity for Sergey Spivak to get out of my doghouse, so to speak. If he goes out there and has an impressive performance against Tom Aspinall after kind of laying an egg against Alexei Oleinik for what that fight should have been, this is a good opportunity for him. Him stepping in, I think, was the very smart move. So now that Pavlovich is out, Spivak is in. How do you feel about this co-main event in the heavyweight division tomorrow night?
We kind of talked about this last week, where it's a co-main event, like in placement only. It's not like the luster of a co-main event. We were talking about this with the Ultimate Fighter, of course, finales last week. Again, and not to insult, look, Aspinall could be a future heavyweight title contender. And if this card was set in London, as it had been originally planned, then, I mean, it's a very, very logical co-main event. As it is, it just looks kind of funny. It just kind of, it's the second last fight. I don't know if you really bill it as this like huge co-main event. But again, that's not to take anything away from how exciting it is to watch Tom Aspinall make his way up the heavyweight division. He finishes fights. He's charismatic. He looks like a tiny Frank Mir. Say tiny, smaller Frank Mir heavyweight still, right? He looks like Frank Mir's slightly smaller cousin. The Spivak part, I think, right, Mike? I'm glad I would never recommend, you know, for fighters necessarily to take on such a tough opponent on short notice, but it was the best way for him to get this fight and possibly get his own ranking. We would have liked to have seen him put on a more definitive performance against Alexei Oleinik for a guy who's supposed to be another sort of young heavyweight stud. But a win's a win. He's replacing Sergey Pavlovich. So we've got Sergey for Sergey action going on here. But this for me, if we said, you know, like I said, Spivak, you know, should have shown more in his last fight. This for me is a showcase fight for Aspinall. He's finished all his UFC fights. Yes. All his UFC opponents. And I will be disappointed if he does not finish Spivak as well, who's again, is a good fighter. But I think Aspinall should be able to take him out. I think if it goes past a round, it's not the worst thing. But I think I'd like to see him get the first round finisher.
Right now, Aspinall, the -250 favorite, +200 comeback on Sergey Spivak. Lines where you would put him, Casey? I know it's based on popularity and, you know, trying to get money on both sides. But still, I think this is a pretty fair line.
Yeah. I kind of agree with everything AK said. This is a bit of a showcase fight for Aspinall. Everything I've seen from Aspinall in the UFC, he's looked like a, I don't want to say a future title contender, but to me, he's without a doubt a top 10, or potentially, is he top 10 yet? Heavyweight? Or is he already?
No, I think
Aspinall?
Aspinall.
Yeah.
He is 13th in our rankings. I don't think top 10 the official.
I think he's really only 13th just because he hasn't had the right opponent to kind of, you know, he hasn't faced guys in front of him necessarily. And mm-hmm. you know, once again, he's facing a guy behind him in the rankings, but I think this is a good co-main event. It's a good showcase fight for Tom Aspinall. I think he's a really good fighter. And we're just going to get to see more of him, I think. And the fans are going to be excited to see him potentially fight a top 10 fighter next time. So, I think this is all Aspinall. And good on the polar bear for getting in short notice. And, you know, if he can make a big upset, good on him. But I don't see it happening. And picking Tom Aspinall, pretty dominant first round stoppage. Not sure how, though. Probably knockout.
Yeah, I'm with Aspinall as well. Seems like AK is as well. So that's co-main event. We got David Sawada versus Alex Morono at 170 on the main card. Khalil Rountree versus Modestus Bukauskas, who both guys really need a win here. And then kicking off the main card, Luigi Vendramini will welcome Paddy the Batty Pimblett to the UFC. And AK, you wrote about Paddy Pimblett and his appearance on the MMA Hour. A lot of eyeballs have checked out that write-up. What have you made of this just immediate surge of popularity? Like, I feel like Pimblett's sort of built a name for himself with Cage Warriors and some of the work that he's done, but he's saying the right things. People gravitate towards him. What have you made of the popularity this guy has had before he even makes his walk to the octagon for the first time tomorrow?
Listen, he's got a lot of good hooks for a combat sports athlete. The name is memorable, Paddy Pimblett. He's coming from this area of Liverpool, like Darren Till, where, you know, when fighters come out of there, they have that very distinct speaking style, which I know some people have trouble understanding it. But again, it's memorable. It stands out. There's something about the accent that to us, at least to North American ears, it reeks of confidence, of bravado, of this sort of like this laissez-faire, like I don't care about nothing, I'm a rebel attitude. And again, that's just how the accent sounds to us. I don't know, maybe to other parts of the world it's different. So that's part of it. The hair, the shaggy hair, which has been trimmed down, but that's sort of, you know, you're talking about like, how did he get a name for himself in the first place? Well, I mean, people gotta remember when we have been doing the occasional Paddy Pimblett article over the years, even before he was kind of in talks to come to the UFC. Of course, the great Pete Carroll, when he was here, lots of great Paddy Pimblett articles. And those actually did like really good traffic. I don't know if that was strictly overseas people, but of all the guys from Cage Warriors that we have covered over the years, anything with Patty Pimblett, I can tell you, did like significantly better numbers than a lot of the other guys who ended up coming over to the UFC. So there's a factor there. Again, not just that appealing, not just in England and not just in the UK. Something about it. People, I think a few people in the US, when they seem like, I want to know more. So when we, you know, we use the phrase highly anticipated on this business, I think it's very legit with Patty. Again, it would be cool if this happened in London. Imagine a raucous like London crowd being able to kind of celebrate his UFC debut and a lot of the other fights in this card featuring English fighters, fighters from the UK, from Wales, things like that. But that's not the case. As it is, he'll have to make his debut, you know, sort of in the more sterile UFC Apex. But in some ways, that can be good. You know, you can hear everything he's going to be saying during the fight, and then everything's just sort of more focused on you. And so that could work out well. So I think the hype is well warranted. I don't think Vendramini is a walkover at all. I haven't looked at the odds, but I would certainly predict Pimblett to win. Look, I don't know about all this next Conor McGregor stuff, but people have put that tag on him. He certainly embraced it. If he becomes a fraction of the star that Conor McGregor became, I'm sure the UFC will be very, 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 very happy.
Yes. Casey, is a win enough here? Is a win enough for Patty Pimblett? He said a lot of things. He's the new cash cow of the UFC and many other statements. Is a win enough, or does he have to go out there and make a massive statement tomorrow?
I mean, it helps. I really think a win is enough. I mean, of course, Conor's first fight in the UFC, I think, was against Marcus Brimage. And was that right? Marcus Brimage, I think.
Yep.
And he pretty much blew him out of the water like in 45 seconds, you know. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I don't remember any Patty Pimblett's the Cage Warriors. Was he the Cage Warriors?
Warriors featherweight champion. Yeah. Now lightweight.
He moved to the lightweight. So I remember there was like lots. I remember hearing lots of things, him missing weight, but obviously he's gone up to 55 now. I don't know much about Patty Pimblett, but I know he has that it factor. You know, whatever that it factor is. In terms of what the UFC looks for, in terms of making stars, this gentleman has it. Like Errol Wani says, I hope the UFC, or I hope Venom, rather, has some special. I know he walks on those kind of orange Sakuraba type of shorts. He has a look. I hope the UFC and Venom don't make Patty Pimblett a generic fighter. And that's my big worry about him. He's a unique guy in his interviews, his look, his walkout, everything. I'm really worried about, you know, you talk about, does he need a big victory? I'm worried to me is he going to just be just forgotten in all these fights and everything? Is he going to be able to stick out? You know, a guy that's, you know, he's five fights, you know, he's in the middle of the card. He's the sixth fight of the night. So it's not like he's in the co-main event. The UFC doesn't have that much faith in him, you know, like they, you know, when Chandler came over, Chandler came over, you know, he fought like in a pay-per-view, you know, it was a much bigger deal when he came over. Patty Pimblett is more coming in as a prospect rather than, you know, an established contender. So he needs to win, but I hope him and the UFC and Venom can really keep his personality and his the presence that, you know, of Patty Pimblett. I would hate to him just you know, like for example, that Luigi, how do you say it?
Vendramini.
I thought he was new to the UFC. This is his fourth fight. I've watched all four of his fights, and I don't remember him. I have to kind of go back, and that's what I'm worried about.
You're like Patty me with Darren Till.
Huh?
You're like me with Darren Till.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Okay, yeah. Right. And you're talking about, does he be a fraction of the star power that Conor has? If he can stick out, and it's like I said, to me, the fight is, unless it's like a 3-round snoozer, if he just wins, it's important. But it's how he handles that walkout. If the UFC is going to show the walkout, his post-fight interview, things like that, that's what's really going to be the most important part about Patty Pimblett. And I say this not in terms of mixed martial arts, in terms of just strictly prize fighting. That's it, just prize fighting and, you know, making your name bigger. That's all that really, that's what matters, you know, for him right now.
Let him wear the orange shorts.
Yes.
Let him wear the orange shorts, UFC. I know for anyone who's seen him, he's got these very distinct orange, very bright orange shorts. It's a little thing, but it's like what Casey's saying. Could we just, or could Venom, maybe they whipped up some orange shorts for him. But
yeah, just whip it, just put like a little marker into the little fangs, you know, the Venom thing, and you're good. Just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's good work. Yeah.
Just something. Do something. So we'll see what happens. Some of the Cage Warriors vets have done well, and of recent, some have not done very well. So maybe Paddy Pimblett can steer the course in another way. But I'm looking forward to see what he does. I mean, this would have been a much bigger deal had the fight card remained in London, but that, it is what it is.
That's such a bummer, too, not to hear a roaring crowd around all these British fighters. You know, that's going to be a big bummer. Like, imagine UFC Dublin at the Apex. You know what I mean? Obviously, it would be UFC Apex, but imagine, like, when Conor beat Brandao and all the Irish fighters just dominated that night. But take away that crowd, it's just another fight night.
I know.
You know, it's just and this card's kind of built that way. Kind of 50%. You know, of the British fighters.
Yeah, it's perfect.
With no crowd.
It's perfect for a London card.
Yeah, like, it's perfect.
This is an amazing London card.
Yeah.
I give a lot of credit to the matchmakers. Again, I still think it's a strong card even without that. But yeah, the original plan to have this card in London. And by the way, there's also a lot of withdrawals and stuff. So for them to keep this
tons
and fingers crossed before tomorrow. It remains 10 fights. I give a lot of credit to the UFC matchmaking team.
I forgot Paul Craig and Gustafsson were supposed to be on this card, too.
Supposed to.
Yeah. Supposed to. Yeah. Oh, man, this card was – yeah. Oh, well. Here we got it.
Look, we were supposed to – and I like – Charles Jourdain versus Julian Arosa is a crazy fight. I'm looking forward to it. But we were supposed to get Charles Jourdain versus Lerone Murphy on this card, and that would have been a crazy fight, too. A big step up for Lerone.
Yeah. Another British fighter.
We did have one hiccup today on the scales. Jonathan Martinez missed weight by 2 pounds. From anything that I've seen and I've talked to people, there's been no word about anything.
No.
They faced off, so I assume that this fight is going to go on. As far as penalties and stuff go, I haven't heard a thing about it. So I would assume 20%, but no word as of yet. So there you go.
Yeah, they faced off, but it should be the standard if it happens. But again, that is not, we should say that is not guaranteed. If Jose Youngs were here, he would say, oh, no, this fight is not guaranteed to happen. So we'll just keep an eye on that.
In the year of our Lord.
Yeah, I want to pull it up because I was actually talking to his management team. There it is. So there's been three weight misses. Yep. Three weight misses in the last 3 weeks. All three fighters were taking on a fighter from this management team. So
no,
all three of the fighters. Yep. And add Jonathan Martinez against Marcelo Rojo to the list. So it's crazy. So it sucks. So hopefully they get a little extra shekel and we're good to go. So let's go to the peaks.
By the way,
let's go to the peaks.
By the way, did we say Martinez his second time missing weight three missed back just by 4.5 pounds like his last year, and then he went up to featherweight for one fight, made weight his last fight, phantom weight, and then missed weight again. So he's got to figure something out.
Yeah, he had a lot of time to get ready for this one too, because he was supposed to fight Nathaniel Wood originally, another London guy, and so he's had time to prepare for it. He knew he was fighting on this date, so I don't know what's going on over there. Jonathan is typically a very professional guy, so I don't know, maybe something happened. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it's a shame. Sure. And there you go. What are the peeps saying, Casey?
Let's speak to them. I was just thinking, I was just imagining the Jourdain and Rosa fight. Yeah, I haven't like really mentally pictured that one yet, but like that's an awesome fight. It's the third fight of the night too. This is a very good fight night card. Off air, we were kind of talking about the card itself. I was like, yeah, you're right, AK. This is a nice card. Nice card. I dig it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And they agreed to a catch weight.
They did?
150.
A sensible short notice catch weight fight. God. Guys, more of this.
Good on them. All right, here we go. Let's...
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Could Derek Brunson get a title shot with a win?
What if he was only echo Derek Brunson?
If he what'd you say, Gay?
Why I wonder why only Derek Brunson? Like why is this not could either? Well, anyway, well sorry, let's talk about Derek Brunson first. Well, and then
Aaron. The question, I think we know a popular Till is. I mean, mm-hmm. but
oh, okay.
And we know title shots aren't based on wins and losses, you know. So
Yeah.
Could Derek Brunson get a win? A title shot off a win. I think he would have to finish Darren Till in the first round, possibly on his feet too. Not even like, because people might expect him to kind of take Darren Till down and maybe finish him on the ground. If he can finish Darren Till on the feet and grab that mic and drop the best promo ever, which I don't think he's honestly capable of, but if he can do it and he's got the blonde hair, undefeated, maybe with the timing and, you know, COVID travel restrictions. Maybe, with Adesanya, it'd have to be a timing issue, but possibly. But you have to do something very big. Very big, I think.
AK, your thoughts.
Or it's an impossible,
yeah, AK. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think both guys are one with the right moment away. I agree with what Casey's sort of saying, though. Like, Till, just because of the popularity, Adesanya himself has mentioned before that he would welcome a title fight with Till. That's huge. So that's two things. More popular fighter. The champion himself has acknowledged you as a favorite challenger. If he knocks out Brunson in the first 30 seconds, I mean, obviously Dana White would love that. So suddenly you just have all these things going in a way for Till. And for some reason, it doesn't feel like there's that same wave behind Brunson. I do feel like, to answer the question directly, he can get a title shot. But even like a definitive finish of Till, I feel like it doesn't put him at the top. He is at the whims of other things happening. Again, other contenders either not making a stronger statement than him or losing their fights that should put them over. So yes to the question in a very broad sense, but I think we're all in agreement. Like, it sucks that it doesn't. It should be guaranteed for a guy like a five-fight win middleweight should be guaranteed, but definitely isn't.
I think he also needs the Izzy push. Like, Izzy would need to put out a video like, no, I'll knock your face off, Brunson. You know, I mean, there would need to be some sort of beef there. But yeah, I mean, it's a long shot, but could he? Yes.
I think Robert Whittaker is the biggest piece of this puzzle, because if Robert Whittaker, for some reason, can't fight till like June or July of next year, mm-hmm. Brunson could definitely get a title shot, yeah. Because I know Cannonier's in the mix, and I know Adesanya said Cannonier's name before, but a win over Darren Till has more value than Cannonier beating Kelvin Gastelum right now. It's just the way that it is. So I think Brunson gets to the top of the list. Timing might not be on his side, and if that's the case, then Brunson and Cannonier can fight maybe November, December, and the winner is on standby to get the next title shot. So it's a very important fight. The stakes are very high here. We haven't said that in a while, but a fight night main event. Since Dillashaw and Sandhagen, that was the last time we were like, there's some big time stakes in a fight night main event. And I feel like this is one of those fights. So it's possible, but Till, I would say, Till could just sneak right in and jump Whittaker. Honestly, like, it's very possible.
Not fair.
It's silly to say, fair. But it's very possible.
Oh, we definitely know it's possible. Yeah. Did you say not? You say fair, AK?
I know.
You said fair.
Deserves.
Yeah.
Oh, deserves.
Yeah.
Oh no! Strike no. it! Strike it!
Strike it!
He doesn't finish his fights, man. Brunson and the Apex could wear him down. We'll see.
That's what I'm saying.
Actually, I didn't realize. I forgot about that. Being in the small cage, I think that is an advantage for Brunson too. I think Till being the longer striker, you know, just big wide stance he has, you know, I think a bigger cage will be beneficial to Till. But here we are.
He doesn't get to explore the studio space, as much in the Apex. Has he? He's fought in the Apex, right? What was Till's last? Till's fight with?
He hasn't fought in the Apex. That was in Abu Dhabi. Yep.
Fight Island Day. Yeah. Yeah. So he hasn't. Oh, my goodness. He has not. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Can you help out Matthew Mullen?
Oh, Matthew Mullen. Shout out to Duval.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we might soon be seeing Evander Holyfield fight Vitor Belfort. I don't know.
In Florida. Oh, holy man. Cow. What a day.
I'd love it if that was in Jacksonville. Please put that in Jacksonville.
This is in reference to when we were talking about, you know, Till's, you know, supposed knockout power. I think a lot of it comes from this.
Thompson, Gastelum, Whitaker, Masvidal all got knocked down and they fought Till. It's true.
Did Thompson get knocked down?
I don't remember Thompson again. Are they getting knocked
out? Have I seen Darren Till fight before? Hold on. You know what I'm good at, guys? I'm not good at remembering fights. You know what I'm good at? Numbers and rules. So I'm going to go to, I will verify Alex G's statement. I'm going to Darren Till fight to just see the official knockdown.
But this kind of goes into what I said about Brunson earlier. I think Brunson is a much
Whitaker
more
got knocked out. I don't remember Whitaker getting knocked down.
I don't think. But you know about
he said he knocked down Whitaker. That definitely didn't happen. That's not a thing.
But you know what? But that's, I think that's, the perception is, you know, I think you watch these highlights because you see these, you know, UFC throws these highlight packages and you see all these named fighters falling down in the fight from Till punch, but they don't actually win the fight. You know, Till doesn't actually wind up winning the fight. So I think Till looks great in highlight packages. How about that? You know, like the. Kind of like Hector Lombard. Like, people think Hector Lombard is this giant knockout artist, but, like, really, his fights were mostly really kind of boring and sluggish. But when he did have the big shots, he had the big shots. But I think Till is kind of like that.
Certainly.
All right, I can confirm. Okay, Gastelum, no knockdown. He is correct. He did knock down Alex G. You are correct. Darren Till. Darren Till knocked down Stephen Thompson. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes. Darren Till knocked down Stephen Thompson, not Whitaker. Whitaker knocked him down, actually. So that's the one knockdown that fight was for Whitaker. So no for Whitaker, no for Gastelum, and no for – and yes for Masvidal. So, and yes for Wonderboy. I did not remember the Wonderboy knockdown, but it is – officially, I see one knockdown.
So Whitaker did get dropped. People are saying Whitaker did get dropped.
He did not. No, so it's a no for Whitaker, no for Gastelum.
Okay, someone sent
this. I don't know what people saw.
Multiple people keep saying Whitaker got dropped by an elbow.
I'm seeing it in the comments too. I don't know. Maybe there was a wobble, but I'm saying officially there was not a knockdown. By the way, UFC stats, I would always say, you know, when it comes to like striking numbers, don't always rely on that for sure. Stats do not accurately reflect the striking numbers of a story, but of a fight. But when it comes to knockdowns, those are pretty clearly registered or not registered. So I'll have to check, but. I don't see it.
I'm looking for it. Keep on going.
We could be very wrong.
I want to know about this.
Like I said, UFC stats I trust for the most part, but definitely when it comes to striking, there's a lot of discrepancy. But usually for knockdowns, again, it's pretty much a yes or no. Did they get knocked down? There's not really room for interpretation.
Wait a minute. I'm watching. There's a nice clean elbow. Okay, so. I don't think they scored it a knockdown, and it could have been. So Whitaker was stepping with an overhand left. Till answered with a short elbow, and then Chill like kind of shoved him to the ground right after. It was a clean shot, but maybe they didn't call it a straight knockdown. It was a good elbow.
Okay.
Yeah, he landed the elbow and he pushed him right down. So right. Yeah, if you listeners and viewers. Sure. I'm literally watching the slow-mo over right now.
I don't know.
ESPN's.
Dalton says he floored Whitaker and he rocked him hard. I'm just saying.
I'm literally watching the slow motion.
Dalton Connors a liar? That's why I hear.
No, this Dalton is a clean Connors. Elbow. Nails him.
What are y'all talking about? He floored Whitaker.
Whitaker goes rocked like Whitaker, hard. Whitaker elbows him and then throws him to the ground like that.
So that's why they didn't. He might have cost himself a knockdown with the.
Like, yeah, because Whitaker wasn't like. Whitaker wasn't like hurt. He wasn't like floored. It was a clean shot, but yeah. I wouldn't say that's a straight knockdown.
Clearly our commenters have. We'll let you all know.
Maybe that's why Till is such a favorite because with you know, if you're a Till fan, then he rocked Whitaker. The fight could have been stopped right there. It was real lucky, you know. So,
Whitaker's on his back and he immediately defended himself. He was like, okay, now if you want to jump my guard, go ahead.
Look, I see people saying like, why are we questioning this? Look, I guarantee, are you guys rewatching the fight right now? Like Mike just did. He just rewatched it. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I don't mind people questioning it. And like I said, I'm clearly wrong because I didn't even.
I will hold my computer screen up right now.
No. I'm like, don't worry. No. These people can look it up themselves. But it's like, I think, like, I don't mind people questioning it. And again, I was clearly wrong because I didn't even remember I didn't remember that sequence, right? So there was he wobbled him. At the very least, he rocked him with a clean shot, wobbled him. I didn't remember that. So that I'm already in the wrong. But I would also ask people, well, maybe you guys should also rewatch the fight and check to see if you guys are right about it being a knockdown. So let's be fair here. Let's all rewatch it.
And 50-50.
We'll figure it out for ourselves. Yeah. All
right. If you have some stats called this a knockdown, I wouldn't be upset about it. I'll say that.
Listen, YouTube commenters. Shut up and go check out. No. Seriously, shut up and go check the clip yourself. Because Mike just did. Okay? Mike just
did.
Wow.
No, I've watched it 35 times in a row.
I hate when people go like, oh, I'm so sure this happened. And I'm not going to look it up. I'm so sure it happened. It's like, I already admitted I'm wrong. I didn't remember the sequence. But you guys go look and see if it was a clean knockdown. All right? That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
More importantly, Whitaker won the fight.
Yes.
I mean, true. Yeah. Well, yeah. Apparently there was knockdowns both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
moving on.
Thank you for the question, Alex G. That was Alex G who asked that question originally. So credit to Alex G. Thank you for bringing that up.
But that's what's so compelling about Darren Till. We don't know. We just don't know. We don't know what guy's going to show up.
He can land a clean shot against anyone, including, again, Robert Whittaker, who I consider to be the second best striker at 185 behind Adesanya. If you can crack him, again, you can crack anyone. You say a knockdown Masvidal. I still think, I mean, knocking down Cerrone at the time was not like a – I still think that meant 2017, that's pretty meaningful.
That meant something.
At the time, absolutely. Cerrone was he was on a roll. Was that after he lost to Edwards? Cerrone lost to Leon Edwards? Regardless, the Leon Edwards fight was kind of five rounds. It was kind of, you know, you just kind of saw, you know, came and went. But I think the Darren Till one, he just got demolished. I remember. It was just.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a coming out party for Darren Till, for sure.
I kind of want to answer this.
Why does media always discuss star power in cards? Shouldn't the fighters always be the center of discussion? I mean, listen,
go ahead, Mike.
I think it's fair that if people have commented on it as such. There are very few outlets that put cards over better than we do. Like, I feel like we find the positive in all of these cards. Yeah, there are some stinkers that, like, you just cannot defend until the fight card actually happens. And we've been on here and been like, listen, Jed Meshew on Between the Links gave a 3-minute speech about how before UFC Vegas 34, find anything else to do but watch that card. And on paper, he wasn't wrong. The fight card ended up being entertaining. But I think for the most part, especially during the pandemic era, we were pretty positive about finding silver linings in all these cards, no matter how they looked on paper. Am I crazy?
Oh, you guys are super, super positive.
Maybe not right. You, Casey, but
before I go ahead, Casey.
Oh, why would we discuss star power? Because I mentioned this before about, you know, Brunson not getting a title shot if he beats off Till, because star power matters in prize fighting. This isn't a tournament. This ain't a Grand Prix. This is prize fighting. So, like, yeah, of course Brunson should probably get a title shot every one fight away if he beats Till, you know, but it doesn't matter. You have to, people have to be interested in you. That's why star power matters. That's why we're talking about it. If we were just talking about wins and losses, you win, you go up the ladder. Yeah. But that's just not how this sport works. Unfortunately, you know, we have to base this on some sort of reality. You know, we can't just, you know, yeah. So star power matters.
Yeah.
That's why Patty Pimblett's on the main card.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of being objective. Is like, look, we don't always want to, we don't always want to revolve everything around like, oh, what is everyone talking about? But if you ignore it, you're not really analyzing the event like in an honest way. Again, if it were up to me, yeah, I'd totally just be saying like, man, why are people not talking more about Jack Shore versus, you know, Ludwig Shaolinian or Molly McCann versus Jian Kim? And it's like, well, I know why. It's like, I know why. It's like there are stars and then there's another tier of popularity and another tier of popularity, another tier of popularity. And it doesn't take away from how good these fighters are. Like, we generally praise almost everyone who makes it up to the UFC with a few exceptions. So I agree. I think what Takara Man 91 is trying to say is it shouldn't be everything. And I don't think it is. And I would like to think most media does a pretty good job of covering stuff besides, again, who's necessarily is the biggest draw on the card. I just want to read one funny comment, which got a laugh out of me. My IQ is 2 said, he's just correcting me. He said, listen, Till knocked Whitaker out cold, and he literally died in the octagon in the first round. And you know what? I apologize. I should have remembered that. That's so thank you. Thank you, my accused, too. That's on me. That's on, you think I would remember that happening.
Then who fought Jared Cannonier like 4 months
again,
later?
A goat.
Twin brother?
Yes. His twin brother. Again, listen, I've made some mistakes on today's show. I appreciate being straightened out. But star power. It matters. But it shouldn't be everything. He's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Brunson more beneficial for the UFC as a champion, or is Till from a business standpoint? Till by five.
Not even close.
Sorry.
Not even close.
The point it is. Till draws more eyeballs. He just does. In terms of like
from Brunson's martial standpoint, arts, from sport, Brunson's standpoint, Brunson. But yeah, from a business standpoint, yeah, it's Till, not even close.
Yeah, because we like Derek Brunson, but something you said earlier, Casey, was like, I think one thing you said that was so key was Brunson, like we were talking about, could he get the title shot? It's like if he cuts like the perfect promo. And yeah. I think Brunson's an intelligent guy, but there's a difference between being an intelligent person and someone who can cut a good promo in sports. In fact, you could be a dumb person and be able to cut good promos in sports, right? So being intelligent does not go hand in hand with necessarily being charismatic or someone who knows how to, you know, say something on the mic after a fight. So when we say like, oh, we worry about Brunson's promo skills, that doesn't mean one, he's not a good dude and he's not intelligent. I think he seems to be both. He seems to be an okay guy, and he seems to, as far as I know, to be an intelligent spoken guy. Well spoken, smart does not feed the bulldog in MMA always, unfortunately. We need people like buzzwords and catchphrases and being loud. And I don't know if Brunson wants to become that guy. And if he doesn't, I applaud him for it. He shouldn't have to. But that's kind of to the point of this question as well, is he's not going to be this verbose in-your-face champion, which is what the UFC likes. And Till is already that, and he hasn't even won a title yet.
Yeah, I mean, to me, one of the fighters in the UFC that has, unfortunately for her, suffered the most from this and not be able to drop that, you know, big promo is freaking Carla Esparza. You know, I don't want to jump and talk about other fights, but Carla Esparza got jumped over for a title fight off, you know, her amazing streak and her amazing last fight, and she's not getting a title shot. So, I mean, we could go on and on about, you know, wins and losses versus star power. So,
I honestly, Carla Esparza could have said anything. She could have cut the greatest promo in MMA history, and she probably still wouldn't have got the title fight. It's BS. It's complete BS. But there's no way that Zhang Wei, like, they put Carla in that fight with Yan Xiaonan, hoping Yan Xiaonan would win, so they could. That's right, Shiloh. Yeah. You know, that's right. But you know what I mean? Like, there's no way. And then Dana goes to the press conference and says, "Man, I haven't made that decision yet." And you just knew. You just knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it was like a collective roll of eyes in the whole media room. Like, oh,
it's like, oh my god, what else does a woman need to do? But still, Carla, pay her to sit on the sidelines, and then she fights for the belt next against the winner. And she better hope Rose wins, because otherwise, we're seeing the trilogy fight, and Carla's gonna have to wait longer.
I hope we're wrong. I hope we're wrong both about the situation you guys talked about with Carla, hopefully getting that sooner than later. Also, Brunson, you know what? Darren Till, become UFC champion, prove us wrong, become bigger than Brock Lesnar by being yourself. I hope we're wrong, guys, and I hope we're wrong.
Hope so.
What is the sleeper fight on the card outside of Patty's debut we should be paying attention to? There's a ton of these, AK. I'll let you go first.
I'll go. I mean, on the main card, I think if it wasn't on the main card, I would have said Murano Zawada. I think it's been an awesome fight, but it is on the main card. So let's, for a 10 fight card, let's go sleepers on the prelims. I really like Jack Shore and Charlinian. Maybe more so as a, again, I think Shore, I don't need to check the odds. I would guess Shore has to be at least a 3-1 favorite. I might even be underselling it, but I think he's such a legit, oh my God. 560. I'm sorry. Pardon my reaction.
600 on DK Nation.
Six to one. Okay. So I'm not. However, I'll say this though. I think Charlinian is more competitive than people think. I don't know if he. I don't think I'd pick him to win decision. I don't know if he makes it past the second, but I think he'll actually give Shore a challenge. I think this is actually like one of those kind of trap fights where Shore has very little to gain other than maybe picking up another highlight reel finish. But outside of that, he has little to gain from fighting Shalinian, who's coming in on short notice. So that to me, I'm kind of cheating because it's a bantamweight fight and bantamweight fights are all good. I'm kind of cheating here, but I'll go with that as my sleeper.
I mean, I already referenced mine. Jordan and Arosa is definitely a sleeper fight. Jordan and Laurel Murphy was an even bigger sleeper fight. But I'm with you, AK. I think if there's a sleeper fighter on this card, and maybe like for the next several, Jack Shore is on the top of that list. I mean, this guy is 14-0. He has not even been really tested yet since he got to the UFC. He's just run through everybody, and nobody's talking about this guy. Nobody. Like, not even his local media is doing interviews with him. It's insane. Like, it's insane. No one's talking about this guy, and he's so, so good. Like, this guy could be fighting for a UFC title in the next 2 years. That's how good I think he is.
Come on, Wales. Get behind your boy. Get behind your boy, yeah, Wales.
Shalinian had a nice run on the Ultimate Fighter, and he's in the UFC now. Good on him. But, man, what a rough test for your first fight. But a big opportunity, too. If he goes out there and beats Jack Shore, whew, major upset. That's going to be, if we're talking upsets of the year, at the end of the year when we do all these awards, that will be right up there.
Yeah, no doubt. Just on pure betting lines alone, for sure. Unfortunately, you had to remind me how good Jack Shore is, because I kind of forgot, honestly. I was like,
he's so good.
Yeah, then I'm kind of remembering, oh, yeah, he is really good. Why is he so low in this card? Who the heck is he facing? Why isn't he facing a higher ranked opponent? And I don't, maybe Jack Shore wanted this fight. I don't know. Maybe he can't get higher level fights right now. I mean, I know a lot of times matchmaking is not really the matches they want. It's just the matches that, you know, a lot of times the matchmakers want these fights, but other fighters don't like that fight, so they turn it down. So eventually we get what we get. But yeah, Jack Shore, unfortunately for him, he's in the best division in the world right now. So good luck.
He was supposed to fight Saeed Nurmagomedov on this card.
Oh my God. What a fight.
That would have been unanimously the answer.
Yeah. Fight I am looking forward to actually is Ji Yong Kim and Molly McCann. Molly McCann on a 2-fight losing streak. Great personality. Kim and Kim is a must win for McCann right now. A must win. Must win. So I hope they show her a walkout, because she's just in. I think they won't show it, but she's just an intense, great personality. And I think Kim's a super exciting fighter. I don't think either of them are top 10 flyweights in the UFC, but they both belong in the UFC, and they're both exciting fighters. And I just think I'm hoping that's a good fight as the sole lady fight in the card. I'm excited about that fight.
Yeah, despite the weight miss too, I really like Martinez versus Rojo too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know.
I love Martinez. I love his whole demeanor.
The silence behind the violence.
It's such a good fight. I hate
this. I just want to throw this one up so I can laugh at the question.
Why is the media not mentioning how underpaid fighters are? Media getting better pay than most of the MMA fighters, especially in the UFC.
We've never talked about fighter pay.
Hold on. Fighters are Casey. You're aware of this? You didn't tell me about this.
I am aware.
Fighters are underpaid,
especially in the UFC.
Hold on one second. Let me. Did we cover this on MMAfighting.com?
Like every day.
Hold on. I'm just googling this. Oh my god. Guys,
there's two things that are laughable about that whole thing. One is that we never talk about it, and two, that somehow the us media guys were rich and making tons of money, and we're out making the fighters professional athletes. Like, you guys are all crazy. Appreciate y'all.
Oh, he said. Marco also said, my bad, haha, I'm new.
That's Marco, why we didn't give you too much credit.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah,
not bad, Marco. No, listen, thank you for watching.
Listen, and I'm glad whether he means he's new to our show or new to following MMA or I'm glad people are asking about it. I don't care if you've been watching combat sports for 1 year or you've been watching combat sports for 30 years. Never be afraid to ask these questions. These are the questions, guys, that you have to ask. And we, you're right, and we in the media have to ask if it's ever going to change, because we want fighters to get paid better so badly. Can we do a better job covering it? Always, always. You know what I mean? But I think we always do our best to bring it up. And, you know, it's not going to come up all the time, because sometimes it's our job just talk about the fights and what's kind of in front of our screens. But underneath that, there is always the issue of fighter pay and fighter rights. And we'll be hearing a lot more of it with Ally Quintus fighting again soon, right? I mean, he already kind of talked about it. Boy, yeah. There you go, guys. Get ready for our Ally Quinta interviews and quotes, because if you think you don't hear about fighter pay, I'll tell you, you're going to be hearing a lot about it. But
look, Marco, and you're going to be hearing a lot about it too, because we just came off the Ultimate Fighter and we just started the Contender Series. Five contracts got awarded out on the Contender Series Tuesday night. Five of them, including a fighter. I like Carlos Candelario a lot. I'm a big fan of the guy. The guy has an incredible story. In fact, I want to interview him and learn more about his story. I thought he won the fight, but for the first time in history of the show, a guy who lost got a contract. Like, Jordan Williams was in like crazy fights, win and lose, and didn't get contracts. So it just kind of shows you how the UFC is viewing the business side of things when they're giving away. They gave away 37 contracts last year. They've already given away five this year, including guys who won decisions and a guy who lost a fight and a guy who got who had a nasty eye poke and lost a point. He still got a contract, even though he looked great. But it just, that goes to show you, okay? That's part of this fighter pay conversation. Because when you have these shows and these guys coming in and, you know, not developmental deals, but like, you know, getting into the UFC, like, these are your first deal. Like, you're in, here's your first deal. Like, and they're awarding all these contracts. And then you see some of these guys with bigger names getting cut. Now you know why. It's a business thing. And hopefully it improves in the next several years. But the fighters got to get together and do something about it. We can talk about it all we want, but until that happens, nothing's going to change, guys. I'm sorry.
Yep, yep. And I
one
think
more.
It's, one more. Okay.
Do we have any more? Who won the dance off?
Yeah, who won the dance off? Oh, wait, no, real quick. I need a quick little survey. Yeah, so how's everyone? We had some suggestions from the higher ups that, you know what, maybe the MMA fans don't like the smooth jazz. And I was like, dude, I don't know, man. So we tried to jazz it up, make it a little more sporty, but I don't know. So you tell us in the comments if you're into this style of music.
I think you need
I like it. I like it.
I think we need to take that and like put it over something more bumpy, you know what I mean? Like the remix. I think we need that sound in there too, somehow. So I might have to like work some magic on the production end, but
maybe
this could still be the exit theme.
I like it. It's a good way to go out.
There you go.
Wind down. All right. Yeah, cool down.
Yes, we're winding down here on the UFC Vegas 36 preview show. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern time. We're the People's Pre-Fight Show. We'll be myself, maybe AK, and Sean Brady, UFC welterweight, who just booked a big fight with Michael Chiesa in November. Sean Brady will join us as well to preview UFC Vegas 36, all of you guys. So if you didn't answer your questions, join us 1 p.m. Eastern time, 30 minutes before the card starts, and we'll address all of them because that is your show. So in the meantime, for AK, for Casey Lydon, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.